hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Glad to see you today, sir.
Glad to see you too.
Really shining yet. It's cloudy. So.
Yeah, this daylight savings time thing has kind of moved the darkness. It makes our show darker. We're a darker show because we do the show first thing in the morning, folks, in case you're curious, because we want to get the program out to you so you can get the latest as to what's going on in the world. And it works well. Hey, a lot of things to talk about today.
Sure.
So many things. The thing that I think that we should start off with, I thought this was interesting. They did a survey. I think it was Rasmussen. Did you see this? They did a survey. And they surveyed Democrats, and most of the liberal Democrats, are saying that even if Trump wins the election in 2024, they shouldn't certify the election, even if it's fair and square and he wins. Now, I remind all of our people on the left, friends, that the big discussion in 2020 was, you know, the conservatives were trying to get the election, the guys in their party to not certify the election, but they did it anyway, you know, and that was such a terrible thing. How dare they even consider not certifying the election? Well, that election had proven that there were a lot of hanky panky had been going on. You know, I remind you of what happened in Philadelphia when they shipped in the boxes at 3 o'clock in the morning in vans, that they covered up the windows with cardboard so observers on the outside couldn't look in and see what was happening on the inside with the elections. Things like that. You know, the thing that we talked about the other day where Trump was ahead by 800,000 votes, and suddenly, like at 10:30 at night, they stopped the counting, and it flip-flopped.
Oh, they all went, yeah, they went home, went to bed.
Yes.
Well, yeah, they said they locked everybody out, but the cameras inside showed they were still in there, and out came the boxes. Well, I understand they still got boxes of votes coming in for Biden. Yeah. It was such a landslide.
Well, what do you think?
They have more votes than there are people.
What do you think will happen, Bill, if Trump legitimately wins in a landslide? Now, here's what they're saying. 57% of the Democrats polled say that they shouldn't certify the election. 57%, that's a lot. But overall, of all voters, like 65 or 67% say they definitely should certify. So the massive amount of people in the country are for legally certifying the election if he wins.
Right.
What do you think will happen if the Democrats in the House and Senate don't certify the election because they follow the rules of the liberal left?
Well, I think that they've already announced they plan not to certify it. They'd like to control the House in the vote or do whatever they can, and they still got time to sit there and we have rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
And part-time Republicans.
Part-time Republicans. Yes. We have a bunch of those, don't we?
We sure do. So they could possibly pull it off, and then that means Joe stays in power. Why do we have certifications? Well, certifications are there because it corrects a wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if somebody has figured out how to steal something, you know, the last thing that they need to figure out is how do they protect the steal?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what they're doing.
We were criticized. People on the left criticized the conservatives for wanting not. We didn't want to, by the way, to not certify the election. All we asked for was to delay certification, send it back to the states so they could make sure that the tally was correct. That's all we asked for. We never said don't certify it. That wasn't the argument in the 2020 election.
Yeah, it's all optics and illusions that is presented by the media, the Democrats. In other words, they will take something and twist it. Andy Biggs was on CNN the other day and in an interview, and you know, they took calls. And so this Christian conservative confronted him and said, "Well, I'm voting I'm voting for Biden. Well, number one, how do you know they were a Christian conservative? Yeah. How do you vet a phone call? What are you? Oh, I'm a Christian conservative. Oh, yeah.
I'm calling from the control room.
Yeah. Oops, yeah. But either way, so they do that. But now the headlines abate. Unless you really look into the story, you know, Andy Biggs, Christian conservative, will vote for Biden.
Yeah.
So it makes it sound like, hey, what? Andy Biggs is a staunch, you know, Republican, and he supports Trump. But it made me go, wait, what's going on here? Because there is a consensus, if we're going to be honest about things, is that people like us, and I talk to other people, you know that, that feel, yeah, we got to continue being the rally criers here because we got to get to the finish line. But
you know, it's interesting, Bill. You talk to some people.
The team is strong, the plays are good, but the point is, there's still the steel in effect, and you got to wonder, are we going to make it across the finish line?
You talked to some people yesterday who I respect greatly. We won't say their names, but...
you could, I guess. Yeah.
Pardon?
No, I guess you could.
No, well, I don't want to. But the thing is, they're of the belief, and these are knowledgeable people, that unfortunately, no matter what the outcome is on in 2024, Trump is not going to get into office. And, you know, we've talked about that here. We've said that the fix is in. I mean, they've only had 4 years to perfect what they already did in 2020 so that it'll be less, you won't see it, okay? It'll be more easily hidden from the public. You know, we have had a lot of questions about 2020. Well, in 2024, they will make it so that there are less questions, at least apparently. Well,
yeah.
I was thinking about that overnight, Bill. I was thinking, you know, I don't know whether that's the case. I keep thinking that Trump and his people, and there are a lot of people, you know, we only see Trump, but he has an organization of thinking people. He hasn't been sitting around sipping mint juleps for 4 years. He's been thinking about what the next step is, and the next step is 2024. I do think that they are aware, as we are, that they will try to steal it again. And I think that they have a plan. Now, I could be wrong. I think one of the pieces, by the way, was to remove the chairman of the Republican National Committee, McDaniels.
And that's what the left is really trying to attack. I don't believe the steal was only in effect, you know, in the last election. I think that that has been in play for a long time. So I think that's going on. And I do hold faith that good things will happen, but you gotta keep the fight going. But I guess, you know, most of the people, really probably all of us that are conservatives, we do have values. We know that. We're not going to fight like Democrats because we have moral values.
You just nailed something there. We're not going to fight like Democrats. And, you know, with that poll that just came out saying they don't want, even if he wins, we don't want you to certify the vote. The difference is Republicans are law-abiding people, in my opinion. They just fundamentally believe in our laws and the system we have in place, whereas the left are radicals for the most part. They will take to the streets. They will raise hell. Now, if he wins, Bill, do you think that there will be civil unrest? Do you think it will be a civil war?
Well, I personally think, let me explain it this way. I'll back up and then maybe redirect this bus just for a thought. Is, you know, the preacher man, the Bible will tell you, you don't know when Christ is going to come again. You don't know when the end of time is. Now, here's the caveat. Here's the wrench. With Biden in office, you can pretty well refine the timeline. It could happen before the election. Definitely, if he stays in office, it will happen during his administration. I can tell you that because this guy has got us so close to the end
of time.
He's
taking one of the greatest, one of the most humane societies ever, our society, and he is literally destroying it. If you had said to, if you had said, send somebody in who can smash and destroy and break apart all the goodness that is the United States, you couldn't find someone to do a better job than Joe Biden, in my opinion. Look at the border. Look at the death. Look at the Lake and Riley's, a 12-year-old boy, Bill. 12-year-old boy that was in an accident, hit head-on by an illegal in December and was in a coma. He died this week. He never regained consciousness. A little 12-year-old innocent, a child, because
they don't care about that.
Because Biden said, come on across, I don't care. Yeah, you can drive, you can have cars, no problem.
Well, I will tell you this, Biden does have a plan, and this is not me just making a joke here. Biden says he does have a plan for the border crisis.
Well,
and actually, it's in effect right now because you've got the audio.
I have the audio. Here's what he says.
President, when is an border executive action coming? An executive action on the border.
Count on the border action happened by itself. The passing.
But Congress can't come to an agreement.
Well, they haven't yet.
Did you hear what he said, Bill? Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, he said. Yeah, he says it'll happen by itself. I don't, in other words, he says his plan is to do nothing because it'll fix itself.
Of course, it'll heal. It'll heal. It's like any wound, it'll heal by itself.
Unless, you know, it's got sepsis or it's infected or something like that and goes to the bone and you got to chop off your arm.
You're being awfully picky, aren't you?
No, I'm not. You know, and the difference between a Democrat and a Republican, you know, we established that there are values. Now, I mean, good moral values. Now, not every Republican may be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not believe in God, but they have the one basic fundamental, which is Christian-like, and that is they have moral values. And I'm not trying to, there are Democrats that have moral values, but they've drank the Kool-Aid of the party and they need to step back. Now, look, I don't say the Republicans are all good. Mm-mm. No, I mean, we got rhinos, we got part-time Republicans, you know, and they Bill, waddle back and forth for their convenience.
I would submit that the conservatives have more, their values are more similar to the Christian values that our founders put in place when they founded the country. You know, we believe in God, country, and apple pie. I would submit that the left has more in common with socialism, with which is a value, by the way, that is alien to our society. It is only within the last 50, 55 years that people have dabbled in it in our country, and only the last maybe 20 years that it's taken any kind of root with the Obama administration. Yeah.
You know, our society, America, you know, is just because of the poison of the fruit that dangled on the tree in socialism. I mean, oh, it looks so tempting and good. Oh, you get all this great stuff, you know, and everybody. It's not what it appears to be. It is poisonous fruit, and that is why America came to be. But
it's sad. We are in a situation now where we're being threatened by the left that if you win, if the right wins, if Trump wins legally, lawfully, and overwhelmingly, which I think he will, Even our the friends that you talked with yesterday, I would submit that they probably know that if it's a if it's a legal election, he will win. But the thing is, it's not going to be legal.
I think that it's going to be a fair, overwhelming vote. They do, too. They just believe that there is a fix that's in, and it's can we sit there and do it? Now, I will sadly say the one thing, and you and I have said it, too, you know, that we don't understand why Trump has done all this. It's too late for him to get out now because the Democrats want his head on their mantle. And that's just it. It's a trophy, and they want it as a symbol for all of us. This is what will happen to you if you go after
a Democrat.
They want
that before the election. They want him in prison before the election. Yeah,
they want to take him down. And
look at what the media is doing, Bill. Look what the media is doing. They are selling a story of him being a convicted criminal already. I mean, we heard it with George Stephanopoulos talking to Nancy Mace over the weekend. Well, he's a convicted rapist. You know,
a lie enough, it becomes fiction, becomes reality.
Yeah.
It's not reality, but they will sit there and sell it like it is, and it becomes a fact. They talk about preserving history, yet I remember at the beginning of the Biden administration, we were changing the history, and we still continue to do it today. Mm. They want the reality to be the history of the world, but it's their reality they want to be history. They're willing to throw it all away, and trust me, friends, if this continues and we allow it to continue, Trump will win by a landslide the election. But that doesn't mean he gets to take the office because
he won in 2020.
They can to stop it. Well, I believe he did too.
In my opinion, he won in 2020, and it was a big election victory for him then too. But they stole it, and they stole it with the help of the system, meaning the media and the government, the deep state government. And they just had all the powers to be. Look what they did with January 6th. I mean, anybody who was paying a scintilla of attention could look at what happened on January 6th and say it was not an insurrection, that the only person to die was Ashley Babbitt, and that poor young lady, I think her name was Borland, who's in the tunnel out front, who was beaten to death. They were all there to support Trump. They weren't there to and as far as the five policemen that they tell you died as a result of the insurrection, that is a blatant, obvious lie.
Now, one of the leaders of this January 6th committee, Liz Cheney, she was in office then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, she is the one that caught herself in a lie, where she sat there and said Trump did nothing to protect the people. He did this insurrection. Well, no, he did call for the 10,000 National Guard. Pelosi turned it down. But Cheney sat there on TV and told a couple of bold-faced lies that came out that she can't back up. The whole thing was a scam. She withheld evidence, too. That has been found out in the last week. So there are calls now for her to be arrested and prosecuted.
Here's for the
Should
Daily
she
Mail.
Be?
Let me ask you a question. Why is it we get all of our good, deep journalistic stories from England? The Daily Mail in England writes this. Mm-hmm. Representative Liz Cheney secretly masterminded an extraordinary Washington Post op-ed authored by top military leaders just 3 days before the Capitol riot, it has been claimed. The letter published in the Washington Post contained a stark warning from 10 defense secretaries from both parties. Now, the Wyoming Republican, which is a newspaper, could be within days of losing her elected leadership. Well, anyway, this goes on and on. The point is, apparently she lied. She lied, and she was responsible for authoring a lie. Am I correct, Bill? She masterminded a lie, which was part of the whole narrative that sold the false January 6th story.
But Democrats and rhinos look for opportunities. And January 6th seemed like a big opportunity. I mean, you had Pelosi and Schumer, and I think maybe even Schiff that was there too, that they had meetings beforehand. And I think Cheney was in on it too, because obviously she authored a lot of stuff. And they thought, here's a chance to sit there and take an event, twist it, malign it, and make it, and we got the media on our side, and there might be a couple of people that get killed. If not, we'll make sure a few people do, and we'll hang it on Trump's door, you know, and, you know, put it right there on the knocker and say,
You remember the young lady who testified at the January 6th hearing, you know, Liz mm-hmm. Cheney's, you know, January 6th hearing, and it was hers. I don't care who was the chairman. She was the face and the voice.
Did Trump ever get to testify?
Oh, no.
Did he ever get to have any of his witnesses there?
No. It was completely one-sided. It was completely fixed. It was
like what's going on in New York and in Georgia.
You know, the left never admits to that, Bill. The left never admits to anything being...
So it's a sham.
Well, do you remember the...
We want to make it clear to everybody. Yeah. These are sham. They're not fair cases.
There was a lady named Cassidy Hutchinson who had a nice white blazer and her hair was coiffed. She looked magnificent, a very attractive young lady who sat, you know, stoically in the dock and testified so well, you know, in front of the committee. And the media just fawned all over her like, oh, my God, we should send her a contract and hire her for the nightly news. She's pretty and she's nailing them. Look what she just said. She said that even the Secret Service agent who was driving the car, Trump lunged across the front seat and grabbed the steering wheel, and he swerved the car, trying to get the car to turn around to go a certain way back to... Well, they have testimony that was released yesterday, quietly, without fanfare. Nobody really talked about it that much. Because, you know, our media, if it doesn't help their side, it just isn't news. If it isn't something that can nail Trump, well, they just don't report it. So they got this testimony, and the testimony says that the driver, the Secret Service driver of the presidential limousine, the Beast, said that never happened. Mm-hmm. President Trump never lunged across the front seat and tried to go for the steering wheel.
Oh, but you heard that all over the news, the negative memes. Everything is out there. You know, the funny thing is, you can sit there and see one of your lefty buddies, and they're not really friends anymore, but they'll sit there and they'll post a negative meme, and the whole nine yards. And they get away with it because, you know, the owner of Facebook sits there. You know, he's contributed so much money, way beyond what he should have.
$400,000 worth. Well, no, $400
million. $400
million.
Yes. And I think that's just what we know about. But they also have the algorithms. You post something that challenges any of their unfettered facts.
Unproven facts, yeah.
You know, they will sit there and get you yanked. And you might get into Facebook jail. But now, they can post stuff from the left that's not true or mean and demeaning. But if we post anything like that, hey, you're in trouble, buddy, because you're promoting fake news, you're being mean and violent, you know, you're going to get banned. Now, there are social sites. You know, Musk is... Elon has turned Twitter into X, and X is now a platform that's free for all.
Yeah.
And it is. Now, conservatives go on and post their stuff and say, hey, rah, rah, this is good. And the Democrats come in there and say, yeah, that's a crap show there on that platform. Well, here's a negative meme for you. You don't get yanked, do you? So why do we get yanked in the other platforms?
But because
you're allowed.
Because they don't mind being obviously unfair. Whereas our side tries to be stoically fair. See, the left doesn't give a damn whether you think they're being unfair. They don't care. But they do mind when the right stands up for their convictions. When the right stands up for what they believe to be the truth, well, if it's not part of their narrative, they'll lie. They will just attack you and brutalize you. And without holding back. But anyway, that's, you know, I still going back to what we talked about before about the 2024 election.
Right.
I do think that I got to think that he would be insane to be putting himself through all of this turmoil, all of this misery, if he didn't have, I'm talking about Trump, a legal and a good plan to pull off the election in 2024. If it's just an exercise in frustration, why would the guy do this? Not for his ego. He doesn't need it, you know.
Well, he's got to have a plan because, let's put it this way, if he doesn't win, which he will win, but if he doesn't get in office, because the only way that he can undo all the bad that has been dropped on his, this is Ding Dong Ditch. This is a bag of crap from Schumer and Pelosi and Cheney and all of the you know, all those people. They all took turns and they lit the bag on fire. If he doesn't sit there and do anything, then, or get a chance to do anything, you know, again, they will have his head on their,
you know,
their mantle.
There are a lot of people, and this goes back 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who, right after the election, there was a lot of discussion back and forth on the internet. People who were conservatives, people who were staunch conservatives, who were trying to figure out what happened and where this is going and what's really going on. And there were some interesting theories going on, and I don't know whether they ever proved themselves to be accurate or not, but I look at, you know, one of the, they used to talk about things like, well, they got to let this play out. They got to let the world, the country, see the corruption. If the country doesn't see the corruption and they try to fix it, it will be interpreted as being a coup. It'll be interpreted as being a steal by Trump. But if Trump sits back and gives them the time, the noose to hang themselves, the left will do it. And I got to think that maybe what's happening right now in front of our eyes is the left hanging themselves. I'm talking about the corrupt left. There are people who listen to this show who are liberal, and they don't agree with anything we say. I think they listen because they're sadistic. They like to cause themselves pain. But we appreciate them being there. We do indeed. But the fact is, I think that the real deep staters out there, and by the way, friends, if you don't think there's a deep state, you're just not paying any attention at all. You know, if you followed politics for the last 30, 35 years, which I have, I followed politics, you know, since I was a much younger man. You can see the progression. You can see how our country has changed. This is not the same country that I grew up in as a kid. You know, when I was a kid, you know, as a little boy, I had, I can remember President Eisenhower when I was a small child. I knew nothing about politics, but I knew he was a man to be respected. And I grew up to learn he had been a man who was a military hero and helped to save the world. You know, he was a man to be admired. Kennedy, he was the first of the TV presidents. Nice hair, looked good in makeup. He had a personality to match his good looks. Didn't have the voice, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. He had the personality, and that made up for the difference. You know, he had the Massachusetts accent, you know, yes and I believe, that kind of thing, you know. But the people loved him. They called his administration Camelot. And look what happened, you know. We all know. But that was the beginning of a change in our country. You know, we started to elect presidents not based upon qualifications in their background. No, we were electing presidents because they had a real good look on television. Television became a big tool, a big instrument, a political instrument. You know, look at Bill Clinton. Try to imagine Bill Clinton being thinning hair, maybe even bald. Do you think he would have been elected? Come on. No way.
Well, Bill, no, then you got to look at Biden. He's got,
Joe Biden lost his hair, and then he went and paid some very expensive hair treatments to put hair back.
I mean, yeah, but when he turns around, you see him from the back, you know, he looks like a monk, you know, get that, like,
yeah,
no,
that's now, and that's now, but that wasn't,
put the hair up for, yeah, I know,
that wasn't even 10 years ago. 10 years ago, he had more hair because he paid for it. He went out and got his plugs. They used to, one of his nickname was Plugs Biden, you know, he could afford it, you know.
But then the teeth, too, I mean, you know, He had every tooth the cap. Well, you know, Hunter did that too. It's and I'm not putting, you know, some of it is dental hygiene, some of it's just genetics. You know,
no,
when you get older,
it was looks. It was they wanted the.
Well, yeah, they wanted him. He wanted those.
Do you know why he
teeth.
Lost his teeth, Hunter?
Well, from
drugs.
Meth and cocaine. Yeah,
exactly.
Especially meth more than cocaine.
Right.
He smoked a crack pipe. You know, and. You see him there in the pictures, like, hey, I'm really cool. He took pictures of that. He took naked pictures. And we are supposed to, that's just a guy growing up having fun, you know? And we're supposed to ignore all of that. But
you know what else is happening this week? I believe it's this weekend. Peter Navarro, the aide to the president, he's been ordered to report to prison for failing to follow the requirements of a subpoena. But here's the thing. Navarro is going to jail for 4 months for not following up on a subpoena, right? Not showing up in front of Congress and testifying against the president. But Hunter Biden did the exact same thing. And Hunter Biden, they're letting him skate. Oh, he just didn't want to show up. Oh, it's no big deal. And I put that on the Republicans in the Congress. If they were out to nail Peter Navarro for the exact same thing, then why don't they just do that with Hunter Biden? Why don't they just send him to jail?
Well, you know, there's justice for the left, which is very thin, and there's justice for the right, even if you didn't do anything.
Yeah, justice for thee, but not for me.
All you have to do is be accused, and they are more than willing. They're more than willing to accuse you. There's a meme out there for Biden goes, yeah, I may have a lot of years behind me, but I don't have 91 indictments in front of me. Well, and, you know, then they give all the number of the years. Well, these are Democratic left indictments, by the way. And 91, I mean, wait, did he do the rabbit ears when he tied his shoes, or did he do it, how did he do it? Because if he did the rabbit ears, you know, he's got to be, you know, guilty of something.
Well,
they find stupid stuff.
By the way, Navarro is supposed to report to prison on the 19th, which is what, next week?
Yeah, next, that would be, Tuesday? I think Monday would be the 18th, so next Tuesday,
I just, it's sad. Peter Navarro shouldn't be going to jail. You know, for people who don't know why he didn't show up to testify, he believed because he was a presidential advisor, he was cloaked under the veil of executive, privilege, that you couldn't, if he was advising a president, he was under the same veil that the president was under. Mm-hmm. People in his office who were, otherwise nothing is secret in the Oval Office. Think about it for a second. If you have your advisors in the Oval Office, you're the president. You figure that anything that's going on, any conversation happening between you and your advisors is protected. But if the operatives on the other side, the opposition, figure, well, okay, we can't get the president to testify. Let's just get his people in and we'll uncloak them. They'll have to testify. And Navarro said, no, that can't happen. Otherwise, there's no executive privilege. And the judge, the Democratic judge, sided with the opposition, the left. So
yeah, they bend the rules for themselves.
Yep.
You know who's in the news today? Who's doing a testifying? Robert Hur.
Oh, I heard.
Now,
yeah.
Yeah, he's he actually resigned effective yesterday. So he's no longer part of the DOJ.
No kidding.
He still has to testify today in the Biden investigation. So what the hell does all this mean? What it means is that when he testifies, he will not be bound by, well, you can say this, you can't say that, or he will be a citizen today doing that testimony, which means he can say and reveal whatever he wants and needs to. Now, I understand that they, or at least the left, is saying, oh, yeah, the Republicans helped him get this all done, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't, But the point is, for him to resign and do that before the day of the testimony means he probably wants to say something.
Wow.
At least you got to hope. So today could be an interesting day. It very well could be an interesting day of things coming out.
You see,
a lot of weird stuff on the news.
One of Biden's cabinet members resigned. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Fudge, Marcia Fudge, sweet lady. Sorry, I had to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
she's a real dessert. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, she resigned effective, I believe, March 22nd. She said,
"Do you know why she resigned?"
Well, she gave. She is what she said. She said, "It has always been my belief that government can and should work for the people. For the last 3 years, I fully embraced HUD HUD's mission to create strong, sustainable, inclusive communities and quality, affordable homes for all." Baloney. Baloney. Ask the people who are sleeping on the street, Marcia. You're in dreamland. But anyway, she's resigned, and other people are stepping down. It seems like some of the, I won't say rats, you know, but some of the people are abandoning the ship.
Well, have you ever seen a ship come into port and then they run that anchor line out? Do you know what you see running down the anchor line?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The rats, and what do you see running out to jump on the crates that are floating off into the ocean? The rats. So
they're survivors. Yep.
Yeah.
That's
true.
They're
getting the hell off that sinking ship. The ship's going to sink, whether Biden gets in or not. This country is facing a big upheaval. So if Trump does not get back in, mm-hmm. And turn the course around. He says he can do it. I think he can, but you know, I also think that this ship is in bad shape, and it's not because of him. It's because Build Back Better had to, you know, tear down quick so he could give the illusion that, well, I'm doing all this great stuff, and they want to say he's doing. There's economic numbers coming out today. They say, oh yeah, you know, consumer index will be up like 3%, and prices were cheaper last month. Where the hell did you see cheaper prices? Everything I buy has gone up.
You know, it's interesting. When Biden did the State of the Union this week, today's Tuesday, last week, when Biden did his State of the Union, they all run together, folks, these days. He was trying to get from the White House to the Capitol, and there was a massive protest at the Capitol, and they literally stopped him from getting to the Capitol. He had to reroute the motorcade around the Capitol building and come in a different way because the crowd wouldn't let him in. I would submit that is a form of insurrection. Those, by the way, were protesters who were on the left who were protesting his government stance on the Middle East, you know, on supporting Israel. And, you know, I would, if you look at the situation, Biden is trying to straddle both sides of the fence, if you ask me. He's trying to get Israel to stop, and he's trying to tell the Hamas members to. He hasn't got a solid position on the war in Gaza, in my estimation. But that's Joe Biden for you. But it was interesting. They had this big crowd that stopped his motorcade, and nobody talks about that. Nobody talks that he was physically stopped from getting to the Capitol on the night of the State of the Union. It's ignored by the media. There's no one who even sits down and says, wait a second, why was the president late by a half an hour? What happened to his cars? Was he in any danger, any jeopardy? Oh, no. You know, they arrested a guy. But as a matter of fact, the only guy who was arrested at the State of the Union was the father of a Marine who was killed and who was protesting from the balcony peacefully but loudly, and they took him out and put him in handcuffs. And I heard something yesterday, Bill, which broke my heart about that man's story. That man is the father of a Marine who was on duty, stationed at that airport. And that bomb went off. You know, they had seen the bomber with the bomb on him. They asked for permission to take him down, and the chain of command went all the way back to Washington, and they said, "Hold, stand down, stand down." They told him to stand down, and they stood down too long. The bomb went off, killed over 100 civilians, 13 U.S. Service people were killed. A whole bunch of them, who we never even hear discussed, were seriously maimed, okay? But that poor father had to greet the body at Dover and then bury his son, and that shouldn't have happened. That was Biden's administration that did that. But here's the rest of the story that I found out yesterday, which broke my heart. That son had a brother, a brother who loved his brother very, very much. And from what I understand, from what I was told yesterday, that the son, the brother, went to the graveyard where his brother, the Marine, was buried and killed himself. So not only did that poor man lose his son unnecessarily in Afghanistan because of a political decision, but he actually lost both sons because the other son couldn't live without the brother he loved so much. You know, and I mean, and that man was the only man who was arrested at the State of the Union. He was put in handcuffs, escorted away, and from what I've heard, as of this podcast, the charges still stand. The charges still stand. All Biden has to do is say, let the man go. No one was hurt. No big deal. Let him go. But that evil SOB won't do the right thing. He never does the right thing.
No, he doesn't. But he doesn't care about American soldiers. He doesn't care about American life. That's obvious with the border. You know, these people are coming in for nefarious reasons. I mean, you know, the easiest, simplest thing to point out, they're here for voting. They're going to vote. I guarantee they're going to be allowed to vote because they're no longer illegals. No matter what they do, they're undocumented. And yeah, we've got to document them. And trust me, while we talk, before Joe can ever utter it out of his mouth or stutter it out of his mouth, there's somebody on the left pushing that paper to make it happen.
You know, Biden was speaking yesterday in Washington. To give you an idea of how they are handling Biden, I'm talking about his people. Everything he does is scripted. They're controlling him with a very short leash. I want you to hear how his speech ended and how they raised the music so quickly to cut him off so he couldn't take any questions. Yeah. Listen to this.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Really, thank you. You've been great.
I mean, it was so loud you couldn't hear it. I mean, if he tried to scream an answer to somebody, it wouldn't have worked. He was, they cut him off. And, you know, that's how they're handling Joe Biden right now, the people on the left. Because it isn't a matter of him being the president. They know that if they can get him into office, they can replace him ASAP as soon as he gets into office. Oh, Joe's sick. He has to be removed. We have to put somebody else in. Now, my question is, will Kamala be the vice president in 2024? No one's talking about that.
No, when they do bring her out, and they have been coaching her in how to talk, you know, and they're going to keep doing it. They've got to find something that they can plug her name into to make her look like she is just a genius and the greatest thing. Because, you know, I had an old theory that said no matter how much negativity you've got, mm-hmm. you know, it's what people remember is the last thing you did. So you can take that crap cake and put some icing on it and a cherry on top, and they'll remember the icing and the cherry on top and go forward. So they're trying to, you know, crap Mala, they're trying to figure out how to put icing on her and nice frosting and a cherry on the top of that crap cake and say,
you know. Do you know why they're raising the level of the music at the end of his speeches? Because they want to stop him.
Mumbling.
They want to stop him from saying what he said on Sunday in New Hampshire. Listen.
Pennsylvania, I have a message for you.
Pennsylvania, I'm sorry.
Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
What the hell is he talking about? Let me run this by you one more time. This wasn't in New Hampshire. I misspoke. It was in Pennsylvania. One more time. This is Joe. This isn't Joe 10 years ago. This is Joe this past weekend.
In Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
You know, I actually stand with him. I think we should send him to Congress. Get him out of the presidency.
Well, we need to get him out of the presidency. We just need to get him out of the White House completely. But, you know, he said it for Pennsylvania. He said it during the State of the Union address last week and last year and the year before that. Everything is the same. And what that proves, because the Democrats are saying this was the greatest speech yet. Well, he said it before and before. Mm. So have you Democrats been sleeping for the last 3 years?
Hmm? Well, actually, napping? I would submit that some of them are. But I also think that they just don't care about truth or honesty or justice or the right thing. They just want their thing to prevail.
And they're going to keep throwing it. They're going to keep, slinging it into the fan until everybody gets sprayed with it, because they don't care. Really don't care.
You hear what happened? There's a lot of talk, believe it or not. This comes, by the way, from a Russian media news source. But there's a lot of talk now that the elite Ukrainian forces, a lot of them, are discussing removing Zelensky because they think he's inept and he's getting a lot of good people killed. They want to put the former head of the military, Zelensky, Valery Zelensky. They want him to be the head of the government. They don't think that what Zelensky is doing is effective or even honest. These are his troops. So.
Now, what will Valery do? Will we continue to support? Does he want to continue that fight with Russia? Or does he want to sit there and say, let's find a solution?
I have a feeling these are elite military forces. The Marines, the Special Forces, the intelligence units. These are the best of the best in the Ukraine. And they do have some good fighters. I think they either want to win this thing decisively or stop it, you know?
Well, how are they going to win it decisively? Because,
What's
it going to take for the Ukraine to take down Russia? And there's a lot to talk about here.
A lot of people are saying that, this a story going around yesterday that we lost American troops who were there militarily supporting the Ukrainians at a Patriot missile site.
Looking at that story yesterday, and I was going to bring it up. So,
And then they're not talking about this in our news. You know, what the hell's going on with the American news media? Why are we getting stories we should hear, you know?
Yeah, you know, so I thought we didn't have boots on the ground anywhere.
We're not supposed there. To. We are not supposed to have NATO forces in country.
Now you've got Sweden now that's a NATO nation. You've got all these people that are bordering Russia that are now NATO nations, which is exactly why Putin is going after. I mean, you know, he's got all his reasons, but the number one thing is the Ukraine asked and we considered to bring them into NATO, and he goes, no, I don't want NATO on my doorstep. That's a poison trap for me. You know, and so I get where he's coming from. He's a smart rat. But now, you know, you've got Sweden there and you got all this alliance going on. And then there's India, you know.
This is interesting. Nobody, I feel like I couldn't find it in the news. Even sites that you and I trust, I couldn't find it. And
I'll try to get it here in just a second. But the story read that India is putting 20,000 troops on the border of China, and I'm going like, well, that can't be good. I mean, I understand the Pakistan skirmish, but if there's a skirmish between them and China, and you got boots on the border there, that is...
What are they fighting over, Bill? Do you know?
Well, that's why I'm going to try to find the story, because I saw it real quick. I was actually, you know, in the process of going somewhere, and that popped up on my phone. I said, well, that's interesting. I got to check it later. But it is interesting.
Well, you know, we're not being told anything about this. We're being told nothing. We're not being told, you know, Macron in France, he wants to send troops in to the Ukraine. There's this. I read a story this past weekend where Germany, literally may just do it on their own. They may just send their troops in without NATO telling them to do it or not. They may just take it upon themselves. There's a lot. This is the problem we have. You know, I used to wonder when I was younger, you know, is it good that other countries, smaller countries, less stable countries have nuclear weapons? You know, I used to think it was just Russia and the U.S., and they were the nuclear powers, and the rest of the world were dependent upon their leadership. Not anymore. Like Bill just said, India's got them, Pakistan's got them, Germany's got them, France has got them, England has got them. All of these countries have gotten nuclear weapons. How do you control them? I mean, Belarus on the side of the Russians has got a bunch of nuclear weapons. Oh, they're limited yield weapons. There's no such thing as a small nuke. You know, that's like an oxymoron. It's like saying civil war. You know, that there's no such thing as civil war. You know, war is not, it's a very uncivil thing. And we're playing games here with a dangerous weapon. We're playing Russian roulette. You know, did you find anything more, Bill, about the...
The story's 4 days old. It's a three-minute read, so I'm not going to bore you with it because I haven't read through it all the way. But the headline is India to send 10,000 more, not 20,000, 10,000 more troops, which means they already got troops there, to the border with China, and dares Beijing to bat an eyelid. Now... Now, later into the story, it says India is likely to send 10 more thousand troops to its disputed border with China in a move that would potentially exacerbate tensions between the two Asian giants amid a years-long border standoff. So that is heating up.
Bill, you know, we don't talk about India as being a military power, but they've got a massive population, too, in India. Massive population. They are sending, if you'll remember, they're sending spaceships to the moon. They're into the space program. They're not a technically naive country. That could be a very serious crisis. Whoever would have thought that maybe a spark that started a global crisis could happen between India and China? I would have thought, when you said India yesterday, by the way, well, the first thing I said, what, Pakistan? But no, it's India and China. Holy smokes. And then not talking about it.
And they have between 164 and 200 nuclear weapons.
Wow. How many do you need?
One.
I mean, exactly right. I mean, how many do you need? My God, this is the world we're living in right now. In the meantime, they are trying to destabilize our government, the deep state. And they're doing a damn good job. They're doing a damn for people, by the way, who I respect greatly. The people you talked to yesterday, their political opinion has always been spot on, as far as I'm concerned. And again, I don't want to mention their names without getting their permission, only because we didn't ask them whether we could do that. But they're solid people, really good. Trust me, political experts, and they actually kind of believe that it's over, that Trump is going to lose, no matter how much he wins by. And that's scary, but I do think that Trump has got something else going on that we're just not privy to. Otherwise, it would be the dumbest thing in the world. Why the hell would he put himself through all these legal challenges and all this upheaval? And why would he be running for president and spending all of this money for what? Ego? I don't think that he needs it. There are other things that could pacify this man's ego. You know, he doesn't need to be putting himself on the target range. You know, no. I think he must know something. There's got to be something going on in the background. At least I hope so. If he's doing this just for his ego, then he's got to be the dumbest guy on the planet. You know, he's talk about a masochistic, you know, thing to be doing, to be injuring yourself like this for what? Just to stroke your own ego? That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, this is interesting. I hope we get more news about the India-China situation.
Well, what's amazing, just the talk about it, even the thought about it, should have been major news right away.
Absolutely.
That story is actually 3 days old, so it's probably developed since then, because this skirmish and standoff has been going on for a few years now.
You know, so, Bill, think of the poor job that the American news media has done over the last few years. I point specifically to East Palestine, Ohio. They just let the story drop. It became nothing. Those people to this very day are drinking out of bottles and hoping their air is suitable to breathe, and nothing. The media has walked away from them. I look at Maui, the story in Maui where we were told that 2,000 people disappeared, vaporized, they're gone. But there's nothing to see there. Just move on. Everything's fine. There's no story to follow up here. We were told, well, Oprah gave $5 million. Well, isn't that great? You know, and then they were told later on that whole thing was a dumb move on their part. I mean, remember, it was Oprah and The Rock put $5 million a piece up. These are billionaires. They make that an interest in the day, and they tried to score points publicly, and it didn't work for them. I mean, I think The Rock had good intentions. I don't know about Oprah.
Yeah, he kind of recanted on that, going, oh, well, you know, because he didn't know. But you know, he's become a big guy. He's trying to be, you know,
he's trying to be a good man. I think
he's trying to be a good guy. I think he might be a little bit of a lefty, but you know, if he's got his heart in the right place, at some point in time, he's going to wake up. I'm not saying he's going to become a conservative, and he doesn't have to be, but he's just got to have his heart in the right place.
Bill, you heard about that Boeing executive?
Yeah, now this is interesting because what he did is he's 62. Life is going good. He's retired. He's got everything. He's got money from his retirement. And when you retire at a high rate of income, you actually get a very nice retirement package too. So, you know, and that's fun money then.
Yeah.
But he's sitting there, you know, it's looking good. He is the guy that blew the whistle. He's going, you know, I'm getting out of this thing. I'm going to blow the whistle.
Yeah.
And he was called in to testify. And he was all happy. I want to say his truck. I don't know what he drove, but he got in his vehicle because he had to be there to testify, and he's always been a timely guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't show up. He didn't show up. And they said, well. So they did send somebody out to find out about him. He was in his vehicle. He was all ready to go. And the news story says he, I think, took a gun and blew his brains out.
Now, this is a guy who, from what I understand, never had any signs of being suicidal. I mean, yeah, he was under a lot of pressure, but kind of out of character. No, very much out of character, not kind
well,
of.
Well, you know, I don't know his personal faith and value, but I can tell you this. If somebody ever goes, yeah, Bill Knight took a gun out and blew his brains away, don't believe it, because I could tell you this. Yeah. It's not in my blood. As a matter of fact, I have such rigid values that unless something happened to where you lose your mental capacities, I think that's a one-way ticket to hell. I just don't. That's how I believe, and I would never let anybody convince me otherwise, because I think even if life is sucks,
something is going on.
There's always a chance for something better.
Something's going on with Boeing. 50 people were injured on board a Boeing plane on Monday, with some smashing into the ceiling when it suddenly, listen to this, it suddenly nosedived mid-flight. Mid-flight, this plane nosedived. It was a Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner. Beautiful new airplane in great shape, they thought. And suddenly it decided to do a nosedive. I think it's software.
He's saying, well, it could be software. He's saying that they have been using subpar parts on these planes. In other words, this part isn't meant for this plane, but we'll fit it on there.
This is not part of his testimony. This is something that happened yesterday, okay?
Yeah.
And he's testifying about the stuff like the piece of the airplane that blew out, the wheels falling off the airplane.
He was testifying, though, that they have been using subpar stuff. But, you know, I wonder if there's some kind of – there's a reason that somebody wants to take Boeing down.
Well,
and
you said to me
–
you asked me yesterday question that it didn't occur to me, but What was the question you asked me yesterday, Bill?
All right. You know, what plane does Trump has?
He has a Boeing 757.
A Boeing 757 right in the middle. And isn't that one that had the, all of a sudden, have the landing gear just go out?
I think it was landing, and it just decided to eject the left landing gear.
Now, Trump's plane has been gone over, you know, by, you know, cruise and text. But if I had a Boeing 757 in my hangar, which I don't, but
right.
if I did, except for now in the news, I would sit there and go, well, it's time to get her serviced. You know, I need a Boeing tech to go over it because they made the plane. So that's what you would do. You know, and now you're saying, and especially with it being a Boeing and everything going on, and maybe they've got people that are foul players, I don't know that I'd take my own plane out.
Wow. Maybe he should think about getting a different type of airplane. You know, I'm just saying.
No, you know, I might sit there and say, Letitia, I'll tell you what, I am going to put up a big bond. Use my plane. As a matter of fact, use it if you can.
Would it look bad if he bought an Airbus? I'm just saying, you know.
They would say, oh, you know.
European, my God.
Well, you know what? But I look at all these airline, you know, catastrophes that are going on. Mm-hmm. And then I look at, and I'm not, and this is not, you know, sexually calling this guy out. I'm just saying he's a screw-up. And Buttigieg. He is a screw-up.
This guy is a waste of space. A waste of space. Pete Buttigieg. I mean, what did he do for East Palestine, Ohio? Nothing. Nothing.
He blew it off.
Yeah. He stopped out there and said, oh, it's bad. See ya. Okay, well, let's go to supper, you know, with his living lover.
Yeah, let's
lover.
Go eat. Yeah, eat. You know,
But then again, I can't point to anybody in Biden's administration who I have any respect for at all. Mayorkas? Mayorkas is what a creep he is. Anyway, I could go on and on. Hey, Bill, anything else you want to add before we wrap this thing up?
Well, yeah, I'll point out a couple of things. You know, the $92 million bond, Trump has put that up.
Jean Carroll case?
Right, you know, so she can't do her victory dance. And, you know, I could go on about her because she is not a victim at all. She's not, she doesn't have the traits of a victim. She has the traits of somebody that pulled off a scam, and that's what it is. She is a, I'm just not going to go into
not
that.
A very
Democrats
honorable
are on the left
woman.
Now. They're calling out the bondsman. They want to bring, and I didn't write down his name, but they want to bring his name to the forefront.
Oh.
Because they want to attack him.
You know, of course they do. And you know, the guy did his job. He's a bail bondsman, and Trump put up the bond, the bail, and they don't like that, right? They think
No, they don't like it, so they say, here's the guy's name, you know, and he's done all these kinds of things. And you know, well, why would you say that, you know, unless you want all the people on the left going, oh, we gotta sit there and, you know, go after this guy. So you got that. You got Biden pushing for, you know, big tax hikes. He says, well, it's on the wealthy. But you know what? That includes you because you've got upper and lower middle class people that will be affected with his capital gains hike. Mm. You know, so you own a home. Yes, you own it or you're buying it, but you're going to pay more for it to Uncle Sam. And, you know, if you're a landlord, you know, that owns a property, either way, your capital gains go up. Everything goes up. That gets passed down to the people that don't own. So we're all going to get screwed by Biden and his tax army coming along. There's a bunch of other stuff that I didn't even get to on the second page. So
I think we can end the program by saying if you are a believer, as are we, pray for your country. Pray for our country because it needs all the prayer that it can get right now, because it's being torn in a bunch of different directions by some very dark and evil people, in my opinion. And I've never seen it in such a sorry state in my entire life. And I'm not a kid. I am up there in years. I've been around for a while. I've lived through the Vietnam War, the Korean War. I've seen all the different battles in the Middle East that we've been involved with. I've seen all these things happen in my lifetime, and yet we pulled through and we were still America. This time, this era we're living in right now, this is the most dangerous time we have ever lived in. We're on the verge of World War III, and we're also on the verge of losing our soul, what we have been for decades, for generations, what people gave their lives up for. We're on the verge of losing that right now, and we better think seriously about where we're going in the coming days, weeks, and months, up until the election and then after. Because if Trump gets in, like we said, they're not going to stop. They're going to still try to bring the man down. Pray for our country.
Well, they're going to, you know, if they can't block him in any way or not certify the election, then trust me, there's still a lot of crap in the White House and people that are there, and they're probably putting people in to sit there and try to trip up Trump all along the way and block him from doing things so they can say, see, you made a mistake. He's such a screw up. But, you know, we've not only got to get Trump in, we have got to sit there and do a total cleansing of D.C. If we don't do that, the problem will just resurface.
Exactly right. The deep state has got to be cleaned out of the swamp. You know, that's our story, and we're sticking to it. Hey, if you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, jimandbill@mail.com. So look for us. We're on all the major platforms. We are on Podbean as well, and we put ourselves back up on Rumble, too, so you can find us there. Just look for Jim and Bill. It's another day.
Like Chicken Man. Like, remember Chicken Man? We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
Yeah. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. And sometimes we don't know where we are.
That's true. But then again, we have an excuse. Listen, I'm done. You only have one thing left to say, my friend.
Well, it's what I always say when I'm confused and I don't know where I am. I shake my head and I go, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.